Well, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This is from Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Worthy art thou, O Lord, and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou didst create all things, and for thy pleasure they are created. It's really significant scripture, and some of the things I'll talk to you briefly about today for CTKers, you'll hear some more in the days to come, weeks to come, possibly years to come, nor in me, unfortunately. God created you because God desires pleasure. We live in a society that thinks pleasure is all evil, but the scripture says in his presence is fullness of joy, and at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. The issue is that we were created to find ultimate pleasure in a relationship with him. God is a happy God. That may be a real shocker to most of us, because most of us think God's in a bad mood most of the time. It's generally our fault that he is. But the truth is God lives in an atmosphere of extraordinary joy and pleasure. And he created us for pleasure. God delights in our delighting in him. That's why he created us. He loves it when we glory in him, rejoice in him. He loves things like, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of his heart. So I'm going to read a scripture to you that I think is one of the more significant ones, because here's what I want you to hear. Because when people think about pleasure, they think, well, I thought God was all about holiness. But here's the issue. The key to all holiness is falling in love. That's what you need to understand. Not hearing more rules, not being to feel, maybe to feel more guilty, not being condemned and scared. The key to holiness is falling in love. Listen to what the scripture says. This is Song of Solomon, chapter 1. Now remember, this place in the Song of Solomon, this Shulamite has decided to live the life of a hidden one. I don't mean by that some aesthetic life, but to not just be a casual Christian, to go hard after the heart of God with everything that they have. And this is early in that journey. They were already a Christian, but they're deciding to go hard after his heart and hard after a life of loving him with all that they have and are. So there's not been really any extravagant act of obedience or some extravagant service being done yet. And yet the very first thing that comes out of Jesus' mouth in response to that is, he says, to me, my love, and he goes on and says some things. First words out of his mouth is how much he loves this one who's decided to live a life delighting in him. In the same little part, this chapter, it says, he says this to her, how beautiful you are, my love, and how beautiful you are. Then there's this response from her back to him. How handsome you are, my beloved, and so pleasant. The word pleasant here is the word that means delight. What God loves, what brings God's pleasure, and he created us for pleasure. He created all things for his pleasure. He created things to bring him pleasure. He has the right to do that. A God who lives in extraordinary eternal joy, an atmosphere of eternal joy and happiness. Now, of course, his heart gets grieved. Paul even said there were times when he was sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. If that was true about somebody like Paul, how much is that true about God? Even those times when he's sorrowful, he still sees the end. He still lives in immense joy, an atmosphere of extraordinary pleasure. What brings him such joy is when we delight in his love for us. And he's the one who always initiates this relationship. He says to the believer, most beautiful among women, and then repeats it. In other words, there's nothing like you in all the earth. You're unique and special to me. And I delight in my unending love for you. We've quoted that verse before over the years, but every time I think about that verse from Micah 7:18, it just blows my mind. Because again, it doesn't just mean that he really he delights in me when I'm doing the things he likes me to do. But in general, he delights in a love relationship with me, period. He delights in loving me even though I break his heart again and again and again. He delights in unending love. So if it's unending love, that means the good and the bad from my part, but he delights in loving me. When Jesus on the cross said, I thirst, he was thirsting for us to receive and grow in confidence in his love for us and to delight in that, to delight in his love for me. But as a result of my growing and delighting in the fact that he delights in loving me, the second thing that happens is I begin to delight in him who loves me. Not just that he loves me, but the one who could love me with unending love in light of my performance at times. See, because when he says to her first, how beautiful you are, how beautiful you are, there's a response. And the response is, in delighting in him feeling that way about us, is how handsome you are. And so pleasant, so delightful. You're so awesome. We love because what? He first loved us. And he wins our hearts. And it brings him great delight when we grow, when we start being perfected in love, according to 1 John 4. When we grow in confidence that he really loves me. He doesn't just love me. He delights in loving me no matter what. And I begin to delight in him delighting in me. And that brings him great pleasure. verse 1 of chapter 2. In realizing how much he delights in loving her, she says this, I am the rose of Sharon. I am the rose of Sharon. I am the biggest deal in the world to him. And I am the lily of the valley. You CTKers have heard this over the years, but just hear it again. And his response is, that's right. You are the lily, like a lily among thorns. So is my love among all the maidens. Psalm 45 says, he's the fairest among the sons of men. But he says about her, you, my love, are like a lily among thorns among the maidens. And then her response is this, like an apple tree among the trees of the forest, so is my beloved among the young men. Again, what's happened here? She is beginning to abide in love. She's resting in the fact that he delights in loving her. And she's delighting in that fact, resting in that fact, trusting in that fact, because perfect love casts out fear. But the result is, she now begins to say to him, I don't just delight in your loving me. I'm delighting in the one who loves me. You are the most handsome. You're like an apple tree among the trees of the forest. She's fallen in love with the one who was already in love with her. And as you read through the Song of Solomon, you read through scriptures, it totally alters her behavior. You know, we've said this in the past. We know as we grow comfortable with the fact that we really are his favorite, in the end, he starts becoming our favorite. And when something's your favorite, you don't treat it the same. You treat it different. You don't want to abuse it. You don't want to offend it. You just act different. That's holiness. That's set apart behavior. The thing you love the most is the thing you treat most delicately. Falling in love is the key to holiness. Not fear, not rules, not somebody pounding you, not giving you new things you're supposed to quit doing. The key to stopping that sin is that you end up delighting in him and his love for you and his person more than you delight in that. And you delight in bringing his heart pleasure because you love him and the pleasures of his presence more than you love that sin. And it's the key to a life of extravagant obedience. Out of love sickness for him. This is the Christian life. This is as simple as I can make it. And I'm a very simple, ignorant person. Daily, here's the issue. Out of love sickness for him and in utter and total dependence on him, we give extravagant obedience to him. That's the Christian life. But it starts with love sickness. Key to holiness is falling in love. And I can't make it any simpler than that. It's the most exhilarating thing I've ever learned in my entire life. It makes holiness fun, because being in love is fun. And if God lives in extraordinary happiness, pleasure, and joy, God does not delight in begrudgingly offering him obedience and submission. That's not a holiness that brings joy to him. He created us for pleasure. It brings him no pleasure for us to obey without pleasure. Amen? In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.